Hi, I'm Maria Theohara Silvella says on social media. Welcome back to Sir Over 50 podcast on Soul Ganai Style. Grab a cuppa and relax with us.
Making things more accessible for everyone helps everyone. You don't have to have a disability to benefit from it. I have a lot of memories of sewing associated with my grandmother. When we were thinking about this, it just seemed obvious. It's like, if we are making mannequins for everybody, then we need to make mannequins for everybody. Like, there are lots of people who are not getting catered for.
In January, we heard from Yvonne, who is the Wheelie Stitcher, and she told us about her experience in finding mini queens to create her seated dress form. Today, we're going to hear from Haya and Mia. They're the team that created Mini Queens. They're based in the UK. Thank you to the Patreon supporters of Soul Ganai Style Podcast. Your monthly contribution keeps me producing these episodes for free. Sober 50 intersects with all communities. We're a community that is so over ageism. We're positively leading, being visible in the sewing world. Thank you both for coming on and for giving me your time.
That's okay. Thanks for having us.
One of the issues that everyone continues to let people know about is that many people need clothing that fits them when they're in a seated job. I call them a desk jockey. So I've been a desk jockey for many, many years. And she makes a valid point that you want to have your clothes fit you when you're sitting down all day.
But it's a very point.
I had Lolia on the podcast 2 years ago, and she was talking about seated photos. And I know that Yvonne and Lolia have spoken, but it's good reinforcement that people use the sewn shown seated hashtag so that everybody has the ability to find photos of what something looks like when you're sitting down.
Especially if you're going to an event or something, it's all well and good that you've spent hours and hours on this dress to go to a wedding, but then if they snap you seated down and all the pockets are gaping, it's not quite as nice.
Exactly.
Making things more accessible for everyone helps everyone. You don't have to have a disability to benefit from it. Like, the sewing scissors I have are made with disability in mind. They're spring loaded, and it means that you don't get pain in your hands as you're sewing. And I've benefited hugely from it. And I don't think it was maybe designed with me in mind, but it means I don't get pain in my arm anymore when I'm cutting large amounts of fabric.
Also, not all disabilities are visible. You don't really know, even by observing.
Exactly. The spring-loaded scissors that you've got, Mia, don't cost too much. Whereas if you were to buy an electric fabric cutter, that would cost a lot of money, whereas the scissors don't.
I feel like I have more control over the scissors as well. I worry that electric things, you'd hit a button, just accidentally kind of go, and that's it. You've got to recut that piece.
Can you give our listeners an idea of what your background is? Because then I want to get into where Mimi Queens came from. Mia, would you like to go first?
Okay. My background is technically in biochemistry. That's what I did my degree in, and that's what I started my career in. But I've always sewn, and I spent the whole of my university life sewing all the dresses that you'd wear at the end of year ball. You'd wear a gown, and I would spend most of my term working on that instead of my degree, which is probably why I now work with what I do. After that, I also worked in fashion briefly and then set up by myself doing some dressmaking. I've always been self-taught. I have no formal training in sewing, and I kind of had to learn everything the hard way and teach myself flat pattern cutting, and also try and teach myself draping from scratch. And that's one of the ways that I knew that this was a necessary product, because you'd get a mannequin, you'd try and drape on it, it'd look great on the mannequin, then you'd wear it, it would look awful. And you kind of think, you know, maybe my skills aren't up to scratch, I'll buy another book. You buy the book, you read the book, you do another thing, it doesn't work. Maybe I didn't spend enough money on that mannequin. So you buy a more expensive mannequin with twiddly bits and dials that moves in and out, and you do that and it's still not working, and you end up hitting your head against the brick wall because you're trying so hard and you're putting all this time and fabric and effort, and you're getting nothing out of it that you're 100% happy with. And that's when I started to think, maybe what I wanted wasn't out there, and maybe I needed to do it myself. but I wasn't able to because it's a huge endeavor.
That's a lot of trial and error for you.
Around that time, when I was starting to think maybe this is something the world needs, that's when I met Heide. And between the two of us, we were kind of able to give it that push forward, because I think this is not a one-person project. You need combined visions to bring stuff like this forward.
Well, we need combined visions because we both have very abstract, chaotic and crazy ideas. For us, the only way to put that in the physical world is working together. I feel that the two of us together are able to put our visions in place and make it a reality. On my own, I wouldn't be able to, and on her own, I think she wouldn't either. It is this combined craziness and practicality and experience, and also how we balance each other at every level, that makes it possible.
Yeah.
My background is boring. I mean, I always say it's business, but it's business by accident, because I actually started teaching. I think I liked so many things. I mean, art was always my go-to, but I was not really allowed to do art, as I couldn't secure a very amazing career. So I actually ended up teaching, and I love teaching, but that also wasn't good enough. I ended up changing onto business, starting from the beginning and learning every aspect and anything you should be learning to grow in a company and touch many of the aspects and departments.
A big change then.
And it was great, because basically I could go back home and say all these amazing things I was achieving, how successful I was being. But it wasn't for me, especially after having kids, when, you know, after the first pregnancy, I was pregnant, heavily pregnant, working so many hours to show my worth. And then at some point, I was even thinking, oh, no, no, I will have a nanny. I will just go back to work as soon as possible, because I wanted to be this businesswoman. And in my case, it didn't work. I couldn't be a mom the way I wanted to be, and I couldn't focus on my career the way I thought I had to. I respect the fact that maybe for some people it works. For me, it didn't. So there was no balance. For me, it was either my kid or my job. So I had to stop. And that made me think about what is that I want to do now, because I actually care much less about what others think. I don't have anything to show or prove. The only person I have to prove is myself. So I stayed at home and I actually tried another business. It didn't really work emotionally in the creative sense. I needed something more creative. And that is when I met Mia, when we moved from Amsterdam. I'm Spanish, but lived in Amsterdam for many years and my kids were born there. I met my husband there. So we've been working and studying and living in different countries. So we ended up coming to the UK, and I just met Mia by accident. I think it was like the best accident that ever happened to me, because it wasn't supposed to happen. I didn't want to go out. And it was at night when I was like, oh, tired. I just went out because someone invited me. I felt lonely. So I thought, oh, maybe I can make a friend. I ended up making friends with Mia randomly. For us, it was, I think it was like love at first sight in terms of friendship.
Yep.
And it's been already how many years, Mia? It's going to be close to 7 now.
Yeah, because your youngest was tiny. She's a big girl now.
And Mia started with these crazy ideas of custom mannequins and I don't know, all these things that needed like big development. We didn't know where we were getting ourselves into. And then with the years, we have been able to shape it and make it a successful business. And it's been a lot of hard work and magic.
I think the magic is probably what people see when they look at Mimi Quinn's, and especially the seated version that we've now seen that Yvonne has shown us. It's quite amazing.
One of the things that we love, and it means a lot, is that we make it look easy and smooth from the outside. Like, oh, wow, great idea. Look how it works. Amazing. How has no one done this and planet friendly before? How is it possible? And it's like, yeah, a lot of years and a lot of headaches and a lot of not knowing whether we were going to succeed, really. What we were ready to do was fail. We were very ready. We had accepted that the worst thing that could happen was that it didn't happen. We might as well try. But yeah, the seated one has been another accident. That was Mia's idea. Well, before we actually developed the standing one, Mia was already saying, oh, we need to develop a seated mannequin. And I was like, oh, okay, Mia, there we go. How about we take our time? We make the company work. We do it with the standard and then we move on and maybe try.
Yeah.
We were like, yeah, maybe in a couple of years from now. We were saying that last year. And then Yvonne got in touch and said, please, can you make a seated mannequin? We were saying, no. Well, we were thinking, no, we can't, not yet. We want to develop it, but we are not sure whether we're going to make it possible. It feels like it's the same thing. It's the same thing, but it's not. It's more development. The technique is different. The whole process. So yes, we make it look as, it's the same thing, but seated, but it's not. This needs proper development and proper like trials and everything. So then Yvonne did say, oh, can you please try? And because she was so open at the idea of the possibility that we wouldn't be able to make it, she was like, really, if you just try, it's going to mean the world to us. And we thought it's going to be one shot. We're going to try. We don't know. It's going to be one shot to know whether we are going to be able or we're going to be wanting to develop it. And Yvonne came with her magic and we brought our magic and it just worked. It clicked. And with a few headaches, we have been able to make it happen. So it's been successful. This kind of accidents that, you know, it's been fantastic.
I think the reason it looks so eye-catching when it's just the core is because the way it's made up of cardboard, because we knew we wanted to go fully sustainable with everything we did. It's not just sustainability, it's practical as well. We know what mannequins are out there and we know the benefits of them. If you have a traditional mannequin that is cardboard, it's essentially papier-mâché shell with a linen cover. So they're amazing because you can iron on them, you can steam on them, but you can't pin into them. And then on the other hand, you have the styrofoam style mannequins, which are also amazing because you can pin into them, but you can't iron on them or steam because they will melt. So we knew that we wanted to have something that was a balance of both. And so the core that you see on Yvonne's mannequin is because it is those many very accurately cut layers of cardboard. Not only is the cardboard resistant to heat, so you can iron on it, you can steam on it, you can also pin into it and it will take a pin very nicely. So we feel like we've found a happy medium, you know, the best of both worlds, so that everyone can do everything that they need to do on that mannequin. But not only that, they're so eye-catching. It looks almost, when you see them in the flesh, a bit like a tiger's eye, in that as you hold a cardboard up and turn it, you're seeing different parts of it and all the little holes in the cardboard appear and disappear as you move around the cardboard. I mean, they look lovely covered as well, but I think they're almost even more sculptural in the raw form. We feel like we've made something that's beautiful at every stage.
Mia and I always, at the beginning, we always disagree on everything. We disagree continuously. It can be in our personal and professional life. Mia is laughing, but it is true. Every day.
Yeah.
Mia is a night owl. I'm an early bird.
Yeah.
Whatever I like, Mia is not going to like. But then I don't know what it is that we always click.
Yeah.
At every level. So aesthetically also, like Mia likes everything symmetrical. I love asymmetrical.
Yeah.
If Mia wants to put two things, one next to each other, I want three. And there is something that makes her be or feel a bit stressed about the way I put things. But then I feel it's stressful the way she puts things together. But then suddenly we find a way, and it is true that aesthetically we make it in a way that is very pleasing in general, but we are very, very happy with it. And we always reach that point. I don't know whether I explain myself properly, but that's where I was laughing, because yes, it looks like tiger eyes, very soothing. We always end up with Eureka. We got it. We are both happy. If we are both happy, then externally it's going to look good because we know we are covering from every angle.
Yeah.
Mia, I actually have a question for you. We've been talking about how you accidentally became friends and you accidentally came up with the concept, but what was it that clicked with you or came to mind for you when you thought about having a seated dress form?
I think I speak for Heidi as well, but it was just obvious. There are a lot of women in my family growing up who sewed. Some of them did it professionally. They were professional seamstresses, and I still have materials and beads and things that were given to me from spares from, you know, they'd made this wedding dress, but the manufacturer had given them too many beads. So they got passed down to me to make little things when I was small. And one of the women in my life who sewed was my grandmother. And she got into a car accident when I was 3 years old and lost one of her legs at the mid-thigh. So it was quite traumatic for the family. But because it happened so early on in my life, that's my entire memory of my grandmother, is having one leg. She was fortunate enough that she had a prosthetic, so she was able to walk with that. But a lot of her time was spent in a wheelchair because, you know, prosthetics, especially back then, 30 plus years ago, let's not give numbers away, were not very comfortable. And, you know, when we stayed at her house, I would sleep on a mattress in her sewing room next to her treadle sewing machine. So I have a lot of memories of sewing associated with my grandmother. When we were thinking about this, it just seemed obvious. It's like, if we are making mannequins for everybody, then we need to make mannequins for everybody. Like, there are lots of people who are not getting catered for. And so the question of not making it, I suppose, didn't really cross our minds.
For Mia, it was obvious. For me, it was not. For me, it was like obviously not possible at the moment. It was obvious. It was obvious that we wanted to do it and that it was needed. For her, as she says, it's her experience and having been with someone that could have done with one of those. It's more like the empathy and the experience. And for me, like if you tell me I can't or I don't know how to do something, I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you that I can and I will. It's that combination for the two of us, isn't it, Mia?
Yeah, seeing that there was the niche there that no one was doing anything for, and it seemed ridiculous that no one was doing it. And then we thought about it. I was like, not even sure if this is possible. But as soon as she says that, you know that switch clicks. And it's like, it's going to happen now because it might be impossible. So we kind of have to try.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, Yvonne was telling us that, was it a friend of hers that asked a similar company whether they could make her a seated mannequin? And I think the price was like, I don't know how many thousands, but it was astronomical. For us, yes, it does take us more work and thinking and technique behind it, but still, business-wise, it shouldn't be more expensive. You cannot punish a disabled person for just being disabled. I mean, it's hard enough for them. So if we have to take a cut that is not going to be a big deal, then we want to make it happen, at least in a way of giving back to the community. So it might not be seen as that, but we know internally that's the case. So we prefer taking a cut and absorbing that cost, but making it possible because we want to have a successful business with our values and beliefs. And this is why also we work for someone else, we work for ourselves. So that is key for us. It's very important. And we hope that we are going to make more seated mannequins. Yes, of course, for the business sake, but because we want to see others benefited from it and feeling better about themselves. And Yvonne is doing a great job in spreading the word and speaking wonders of the process and everything because she really believes in it. She has seen it. She has a first-hand experience. It's been a fantastic journey together.
What else do you offer people who come to you for a dress form that also reflects your community values?
What aligns with our values is helping our clients get what they want. And we don't question the reason why they might want us to modify something. They might want us to make a part of the body bigger or smaller for whatever reason it is. And we are happy with that. We don't even question. What we do ask is, what are your challenges? So before getting scanned and before we make a plan with them, we always like listening to their story, their challenges, their goals. What do you want your mannequin for exactly? What is the challenges? So when they tell us about all that, then we understand. And sometimes we don't need to be asked to modify something. We can also suggest, do you want us to add this part here? Do you want us to remove this bit here? Do you want us to do this, to do that? Yes, the scan is a snapshot in time of your shape and your posture, but we can change digitally a lot of things and then translate it into the final mannequin as per your needs. So that is another thing that really lines up with our values. We don't question, we help, and we want them to make the best use of it because this is something you're going to have basically forever. Has to be practical, beautiful. You need to be happy looking at it. And even if you are not super happy looking at it at the beginning because it's confrontational, you get used to it and you end up like hugging your own body. That is just wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the aspects that Yvonne also talked about through discussions with you both was where to put the pole on her seated dress form. I know she was laughing her head off when she was talking about it. She has the opportunity now to put the dress form not only on the desk, but also on her chair, and it's not going to weigh too much for her as well. So that was really good to hear from her perspective. And now I understand why that's possible with Mimiquins.
Yeah, so with Yvonne, it's a lot more processing heavy because we are covering a lot more bases when we are doing a seated mannequin. People who have been scanned with us or have seen our demonstrations will know that it's a very fast process. You don't need to stand still for long. You just stand in the room, we walk around you and we scan you, and that's great. But for a seated mannequin, we layer up different scans. We scan the wheelchair separately as well. That was fortunately possible for us to do with Yvonne. So we were able to scan that, and then digitally, we're able to manipulate the 3D scan so that we can actually slot it into her wheelchair virtually and make sure that everything's going to fit before it goes into production.
It makes sense because you do the discussion with the person beforehand. Yvonne was very clear in saying that her experience is going to be different to the next person's experience because of what their needs are. You've both demonstrated that this is part of your process. You talk to the person, ask what their needs are, and you work really closely with them and you really care about them.
Yeah, that is what keeps us motivated. We always say it's not just about making a mannequin, it's about the whole experience. And because everyone is unique, is different, it's the same about their experiences, the same about the service, the same about the amount of time you need to be talking to someone. And for us, it comes naturally. So it's not a strategy. It has become maybe a strategy by accident again, by trying things like being ourselves. There's only so far you can get without being yourself. And Mia and I are ourselves at every stage. And that is priceless as well. But yes, every experience is unique. Everyone that comes to the studio, the first thing they say is always like, oh, this is wrong with me. I'm wonky here, I'm wonky in there. Oh, I have this, I have that. That's the first thing they always say, as if everyone else had it better and they are the only ones that see that they really have a challenge with that. And it's not the case. It's the same with everyone. Everyone has a challenge. There is someone specifically that came after having been under treatment for a long time, and she came with an absolute different mentality. Yvonne is like that as well. So you can see when someone has been physically put under pressure that they just come with a different mentality. They come saying, okay, there we go. This is me. I want me. But in general, we do come with a lot of negative points about ourselves. We do think and believe, and we've seen that in general, when you get your own mimicking and you have been able to go through the whole process, even though at the beginning it might be a little bit confrontational, it does help to see you in a much more positive way. So that's another point that we like working on and towards acceptance, embracing your shape and everything. Because when you have one of these, you're going to make better fitting clothes much faster and you're going to look better. So you're going to be more confident. So if you choose the right materials, the right colors, the right models, and you have a tool like this, you're going to feel wonderful.
Yeah, it's the difference between once you get your mannequin, not only are they the sculptural version of yourself, you know, when you see the scan does not lie and it also picks up everything. So you are looking at every bump, every lump, every seam, every strap, every elastic cutting in, and it's a bit overwhelming with people. And then as soon as they see the finished mannequin, it's like, oh my God, it's fine, because it's still you, it's still your dimensions. That's receiving it. And then as soon as you start using it, you're starting to see your body. It's almost as a tool that is there to help you. It's rare that you are helping yourself out to have a actual physical copy of yourself there helping you out. I think makes people see themselves in a different light.
And it's a useful version of themselves that they can create clothing that fits them and they're happy with it.
Basically, if anyone wants to follow us on our Instagram, that's where we have everything coming up, because we're going to several shows and we'll also have a few upcoming collaborations with people. So if people are interested in what we do, then that's the best place to find out more, really.
People want to find you. You've got the website for Mimi Queens, but if people want to keep up to date with what you are doing, they need to go to the Instagram account, which is Mimi Queens.
Yeah, I would say so.
Thank you for coming onto the podcast, because, you know, we've heard Yvonne's side of the story. It's been so much more insightful understanding how you both came together, how Mimi Queens was developed, and what it is you're providing us as sewers so that we can come up with clothing that fits us better, whether we're standing or whether we're seated.
Thank you so much for having us and giving us the time to explain what our mission and vision is. And we are really, really hoping to keep sharing many more developments and showing how we can help people, because there is so much more than meets the eye in terms of how this can help in many ways. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for giving us the time to talk about our mimickings.
Thank you so much for having accidentally become friends and having opposing views and having such a great product that we can benefit from with Mimiquins.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Since Yvonne received her set of dress form, she's now an ambassador for Mimiquins. This episode of Sad 50 Podcast on So Organized Style was produced by me, Maria Theoharis, with permission of Mia and Hayer of Mimiquins, sound by bensound.com. Many thanks for the ongoing support of the podcast Patreon contributors. Their ongoing support each month enables me to develop this podcast for free. Make sure you direct message Sandy and the editors at Sober50 on Instagram to contribute to the ongoing posts and challenges the team promote to the community of now over 49,000 followers. You can subscribe to So Organized Style Podcast, but with an S not a Z, on all good podcast apps. Make sure you go back and listen to our free 750 archive on So Organized Style. We look forward to joining you in your sewing room next time. Stay safe, everyone.